Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Kay Momquist and Chip Haley. Sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Welcome, everyone. It's so good to be back with another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Momquist.
So tell me, Kay, is your week off to a great start?
So far, so good. Been busy, and I think it's going to stay that way.
All right. Well, that's good. Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have another special guest here on Meet the People of MCB. We've been wanting to interview this gentleman for quite some time. So let's bring him on. Welcome, Greg Hollins.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
You bet. So how you been, Greg? You been doing okay?
I've been doing quite well, Chip. Thank you for asking.
Well, what we first like to do, Greg, and when we do these interviews, is talk about your vision loss. So why don't you share with everyone the cause of your vision loss?
Well, I've had a couple of different conditions I got going on. I've got cataracts and detached retinas, and I had a high partial till I was, 11 years old, and I had, several surgeries in my younger years, and the last one being at when I was 11, when I had a reoccurrence of my detached retina, and unfortunately that one was not successful, and then I became totally blind, and that's pretty much the way it's been since then.
Okay. Now, so you begin to experience vision loss, when you were a pretty early age. So did you attend public school anywhere, or did you go attend a school for the blind?
I attended public school here in Kansas City.
All right. Now, I know you've got quite a family there, too, in Kansas City. In fact, I think the Hollins clan, there's probably takes up more of the population of Kansas City, right?
Well, some might think so. We got a pretty large family, yes.
So you got, I know you your dad's still living?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. My dad, he's still kicking around here, kicking up dust. And I have five other siblings, and three sisters and two brothers, and I am one of the middle children. In fact, it goes girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so then, too, now, did you attend college after you finished high school?
Yes, I attended. Right after I attended high school, I went to MU for a short stint, and then I attended some classes over at UMKC here in Kansas City. Then I had found myself, like many young folks at that time, I had become involved in a relationship and had a child at a young age, which, kind of put some of my education on a back burner. And so I ended up, doing the responsible thing and taking care of my children. However, as I got older and I had kids were getting a little older, and I got opportunity to return to school, and I went to University of DeVry and got my degree in computer programming.
Well, that's really terrific. That's really great. Glad that you decided to go back to school. But like you said, you needed to take care doing the responsible thing. So that's really terrific. I'm going to turn it over to Kay. Kay, you've got some questions for Greg.
I actually do, and that's interesting that you mentioned about having to take a break in life and take care of your kids, because I've always told my kids the same thing. It's like if you are thinking about education, do it while you're young and you don't have the responsibility. So I completely understand that scenario. Well, I guess my question is did any of your other family members, siblings or whatever, have any visual problems like you did, or are you the only one?
No, I have my father is totally blind, and I have a nephew, as like many of the MCB family knows, James Holland, who's totally blind.
Okay. That's cool. So, what got you interested in MCB, or how did you find out about it?
Oh, I've been, on paper as a member since even the youth days, and I think right around, oh, by the time it was about time for me to graduate, one of our illustrious past presidents, and of course along with my father, but really, Shirley Brokaw told me it's time to get off my tush and become active in the MCB and quit being a member.
Yep. So then what did you do? I mean, who what affiliate are you with, or were you with the same affiliate, or have you always been with the same affiliate? Let me put it that way. And how did you get active, in what way?
Well, I've always been a member of Allied Workers for the Blind as far as affiliate goes. And I've first, became active in AWB, probably held about every job there that they had all the way up to president and vice president, served on the board. And then I had the opportunity to start working with a lot of other wise people from that started getting me more involved in MCB, such as Jerry Annunzio, Kathy Wheeler, and Debbie Fitzpatrick, and several other. And that's just in my local affiliate. There was plenty of people that helped mentor me on the state level as well.
Well, that's neat. Yeah, see, you're mentioning names I don't even know, because I readily admit that I am a newcomer to the crowd, and it's always fascinating to me to hear about the people before us that really, really mentored people and got people involved, and it's really neat to hear how that all came together. So, Chip, do you have any other questions?
Oh, I always do.
I'm
So,
sure.
yeah. So, Greg, you were talking about all those individuals you just mentioned, and of course, I know them all too. And so, yeah, I kind of got to know you probably back in the late 1990s. So you and I have been acquainted since that time. And Greg, ever since I've known you, you've always had a real, genuine, deep love for MCB. And I can really appreciate that. You and I have had some really long conversations about the organization and how, what areas that need improvement and how we can improve things. And I've always appreciated those different kind of conversations. So share with us a little bit. I know you talked a little bit about your involvement there with Allied Workers for the Blind, and I know that you've been a board rep for your affiliate on the state level, and you've done some things even behind the scenes for the organization. So why don't you just share with us your heart and passion for MCB?
Well, like I said, I mean, my passion goes back from being very young, and when you and you I mean myself personally, when you I think one of the really things that really, besides the great mentors I had that really got my drive going, is when you get out in life and you start, having to navigate obstacles in life and such. And you, it really gave me a greater appreciation to for these type of organizations and the people before me that had fought and on the national, state, and local levels to afford opportunities for doors to open up for me in my life. And, you know, I just have been very passionate about being able to continue that and pass that on to the generations and expand on what this organization was found on in the beginning.
Well, before
I think
we
that's
get
what I mean. Oops. Go ahead, Chip.
Well, I was just going to quickly say that before we get to talking about, you know, your involvement on the national level, I know one individual in particular that meant a lot to you, Greg, and she meant a great deal to me as well. And in fact, I think she probably had a hand in mentoring you. She did me. And that was Edna Freeman. Share with
her. Oh, absolutely. And that is very absent-minded of me now on the state level, because I only mentioned the local level people. Edna was very instrumental. And immediately when I came on board and she really pushed me a lot too.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, that's when I got to really start. I got the opportunity at that time to work with, like Chip said himself, and there's another one of Edna's mentees at that time was Dennis Miller. Great guy. Had you know, worked with for some years.
Yeah, Dennis, I loved him. He was like a dear brother to me, and he was just a really great friend. I still stay in contact with him. So, he's just a great, great guy. You're going to ask a question or make a comment, Kay?
I really was, and I guess that's exactly what I mean. Is I don't know a lot of these names. You guys all talk about them and stuff, and I know coming from Wisconsin, we have our share of history and the people that actually made things possible, and I guess that's exactly what I mean. It's really neat that these people from the past that are still here, some of them are, some of them aren't, and stuff, they made their mark and they allowed things to be able to be continued and to do what we're doing today. And I think that's what's so neat, to hear people speak in honor or regard to various individuals that made a difference. And that's what I love to see. And I'm seeing more of it popping up today, and somewhere down the line, the same thing is going to happen. People are going to talk about so-and-so and whatever. And it's not just in passing. It's the differences that they made, the fact that they led in such a way that by inspiration, and people said, wow, I can do that. That's neat. Yeah. You know, so I completely understand what you're saying, Greg. And it's really neat that you have those memories of those individuals.
Oh, yeah. And I may even date myself here. I mean, I could go on all day talking about some of the past leaders and people I've served with on the board. Another one I can't leave out is, now, this going to put us way back, is also around that time, is old Don Shockley.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. So I know, too, you, like I started to say a moment ago, you've been heavily involved on the national level. You and your family have always pretty much attended just about all of the ACB National Conference and Conventions. You'd take a big group with you whenever you would go. And I know you've served on the ACB Resolutions Committee, Bylaws Resolutions Committee, I think it was. So share with us.
ACB, they're separate at ACB.
Right, right.
There's the bylaws and then there's resolutions.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yeah. So share with us a little bit about the different things that you've done on the national level.
Well, I've spent a short stint with R&D years ago. And then I really got more involved. I was on there for a very short time and then got involved with Chris Gray, I think, was president at that time and offered me an opportunity to work with resolutions. And I mean, I really not only enjoyed resolutions, but well, you don't have a social life on resolutions for those. So. it's the last committee of the evening. And oh my goodness, we've been up till years where we've had many resolutions, we're up to 5, 6 in the morning sometime and have to turn around and go to convention in the morning. But I really got an opportunity to work with a lot of great people there, like Paul Edwards, Michael Byington, Charlie Crawford, Jeff Tom. I mean, some of the smartest people, Mark Riker, some of these people are some of lawyers and government employees, and some of just some of the greatest minds you ever want to meet.
Yeah, okay. I want to go back. I meant to ask you this too. When you were talking about your family, you also didn't you also coach? I can't remember. I think it was a baseball team when you were.
Well, I did. I did a little bit of baseball. I did baseball, and I've done football. I probably coached more football, little league, than I have done baseball.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Kay, go ahead, Kay.
That's interesting. So, I guess what would come to mind is how does someone that can't see coach football?
Well, if you know, like, first of all, you got to have knowledge of the game and what right. it entails yep. to play the game. And then, because otherwise you can't pass that on to the young folks out here.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, yep. you have to have, you know, people around you on the coaching staff that, first of all, you have to have people that have an open mind to allow you in this very tight world that is not it is very unusual for a blind person to be in the first place. So if you can get some individuals that would are open enough that you have something to offer to them, and that's the first leap and opening closed minds of the other people around you.
I guess that's why I asked the question, because you're right. That would not be a common occurrence. And most blind people probably wouldn't have even conceived of the idea of coaching. But if you know the game and you like it and you can show them what they need to do and how they need to do things. I mean, let's face it. Football is a hands-on sport, and so a lot of that stuff can be learned, you know, that way as well. It's not just all visual.
Well, and yes, and you have to, and it was a learning thing. It was something different for some of our children as well, because it, just like you said, hands-on, like when we're in practice, I mean, we used to have these drills, and sometimes when we have our, without going into boring people with too much detail about football, like we have these line drills, and everything is key to getting the edge on the other lineman. I mean, from the positioning, wrestlers will appreciate this, that your base, the positioning of your feet, and where you actually, and those are bad habits that people, kids are just line up, and they'll forget about their feet are not spaced correctly, or they'll forget about going set and going to the outside shoulder. So sometimes, and what we would do is we'd line them up, and when I worked with the line a lot, we line them up, and then one of the other coaches, they may see something that we don't like, and we just freeze them. Nobody moves. And it was kind of funny. And our kids have to get used to this, because then I'd go up and down the line. You cannot move. And they may try to cheat and slide their feet in position as I'm going up and down the line. But we break them of that habit, too, because we catch you doing that, you're running the hills.
Yep. No, I get it. Because I was one of the first girls in our school to go out for wrestling. So that's why I mentioned it, because I know a lot of that is absolutely muscle memory. When you are doing this, you are in this position and stuff. So that's why I said a lot of it is not just visual. It is about what you are, your stance, you know, and so on and so forth. And that's why I asked. But that I think is really cool, and good for you for doing that. And I'm glad that you had the people that would work with you to do that as well. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've worked with, First of all, I worked with a gentleman that's passed now. When I started out down in flag football, is Michael Horn, and he's a great friend of mine, and he passed away. But then I signed up. My kids were playing baseball out in Raytown at that time, and I was wandering around, and a guy named James Morning came and was recruiting kids for his football team. And so I said, okay, the kids wanted to play football. So we sign up, and sometimes he'd see me out there before practice, you know, just going with my son and my nephews over the drills. I see them working in practice and just getting them ready before practice. And one day, Morning walks up to me and he goes, "How come you're not out here?" I said, "What do you mean? I am out here." He said, "How come you're not on my staff?" He said, I know who you are. He said, "I've seen you when you used to coach flag down in Blue Valley."
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
So, Greg, we didn't get a chance to get into it, really. So after you graduated college and got your degree and everything, what was your work history like?
Well, I worked for a while as a rehab engineer, and I did some work at a short stint at a company here called Quintiles. I worked there for a short stint, but I worked as a rehab engineer for several years and doing training there, which I enjoyed quite a bit as well. And then I do a lot of, like, I found myself doing a lot of stuff, getting hired by folks with small businesses and such, just to do computer work, you know, independently on my own.
Okay, very good.
I was just going to ask you if you still did computer work since you went into computer sciences or computer programming and things like that. So that's still something that you're very much involved in?
I am to a degree, but it's funny. You know how they say your degree ain't always what you... I've done more like tech, problem solving, fixing things, networking, setting up systems, even building computers, more than I've done programming over the years.
Yep. I understand that completely. I can't tell you how many people I know that graduated with this degree and they're doing things that they love doing, but it had almost nothing to do with the degree that they got in college.
Mm. Well, Greg, one of the things that you and I have talked about, and I want to get your thoughts about this and have you share with the people. And I know you've done a lot of networking with some of the other state affiliates. You've gone to their conventions. You talked to me. We were talking the other day in some of the other state affiliate conventions that you've attended and what that's meant to you. And I tell you, I think that's really a good thing to do. I'd like to see more involvement on, you know, with MCB, with the other state affiliates. You know, we, you know, attending some of their conventions, inviting them to attend our conventions. So share with us a little bit some of the things that you've learned attending other state conventions.
Well, I've learned that they really work their people. Some of them do. I mean, and it is really, it's really pleasant to watch the involvement in the, like Washington State, in fact, which actually I plan on attending here in another week and a half. They are very active in not just getting their membership up or recruiting young folks. They don't just recruit them. They put them to work.
Yeah.
And they're very involved with, like, some of their, even their members at large. They have these like conferences to keep those people in, you know, up on what's going on and get their input and their involvement, as well as the members and, you know, the regular affiliate members and such.
Yeah, and you told me about you attended the Florida Council's convention as well. So I know that had to be.
I have not. I have not. It is on my bucket list. I have not. attended
okay.
the club.
Okay.
Paul's been trying to get me down there.
Oh, all right. Good. Yeah. All right.
I think as state affiliates, we could probably learn a lot from each other. Mm-hmm. And that's why I've been keeping track of what people are doing in different conventions and things. Not so much to steal their ideas, but to learn. And I'm not even going to get off on this subject here because it'll sidetrack us. But I honestly think that more presidents should share what their affiliates are doing, especially the ones that are really doing a phenomenal job with their conventions, so that other people can learn. It's not that you're doing it wrong. It's that there's different ideas out there. And there's a lot of really good ideas out there.
Yeah, you bet.
And I wouldn't even say that would be stealing, because I think that, you know, even when I coached in Little League, I mean, I had other friends like other coaches. Some of them had coached with us at one time. Some went on to do their own things. I mean, we sit down and we share ideas, share, you know, we share everything up until it's time to play each other. But and we share a lot of ideas. I don't think any affiliate like some of these affiliates, California, Washington, Florida, I don't think anyone would consider that stealing their ideas as opposed to sharing and growing the organization as a whole.
Yeah.
So let me take off on that right there, Greg. You've been a part of MCB for quite a number of years, and you've seen a lot of different changes come and go. Is there anything, as you look back in your time as a member of MCB, that has changed, or something that meant a lot to you that you would like to see brought back? Or is there anything in the organization that you'd like to see changed?
I don't know necessarily, again, that change as opposed to maybe expanding, improving. Change is, be careful with words, because it can interrupt people. You say change and people are going to put up fences and guards. And because we are creatures of habit, and people think you don't like what they're doing, so you want to change it. And I don't necessarily know if I always want to use the word change it. Expand, improve.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah,
I understand exactly what you're talking about, because in our Lions Club, there's a bunch of the old boys. You say, we're going to change this, and they immediately, no, we've always done it this way. This is the way it is. So what you do is just simply improve upon it. You don't. That word, you're right. It puts up a lot of defense mechanisms in a lot of people, no question. So it's about just growing, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you know, we've talked to Greg about, you know, a lot of issues that we would like to see improvement. You know, we've got to do some work on our generating revenue back into the organization. We got to continue to work on increasing membership. You know, this organization, we've lost so many affiliates, and I hate seeing that. And we've lost affiliates that have been around for years and years and years. And I'd like to see at some point in time, we've reestablished some of those affiliates within those areas. And I know you've got some really great thoughts about doing stuff like that, and maybe helping us, look for ways to generate revenue back into the organization. Any thoughts that you would like to share along those lines?
Well, first of all, when we do, I will use the word change. Yes, we got to change the fact that we're losing affiliates and losing members. Now that we do have to change. I think we need to first probably start digging in and recognizing before some of these affiliates get to a teetering point, and being able to recognize that they're struggling, reach out to them and figure out how, from the state level, we could assist them in any kind of way, and make sure that they know that the MCB is here, and don't be afraid to reach out to us, and so that we can get some, maybe get on a conference call, get some boots on the ground, and come down and see if there's anything that that they're missing that we could help, right in their shifts, so to speak.
Yeah, you've got a lot of great experience and knowledge, Greg. I think you could really help some of our affiliates. I'm going to let Kay here in just a moment ask her famous question that I told you about before we started the recording. But I would really like to see you, you know, kind of get more involved in assisting some of our affiliates, because like I said, you've been a part of this organization for a long time, and you have a lot of great wealth of knowledge and information experience. So really like to be able to tap into all that, because you've got something that I think is very valuable. So
I don't know if you guys still do this, but at one time, like, and you were involved in that as well, when we were going around, not only meeting with folks where they were trying to form new affiliates, we visited also the other affiliates and, you know, offered any assistance or gave them a chance to ask us for any ideas, mm-hmm. and things. And I thought that was a really great thing we were doing
yes,
there for a while.
Yes, yeah, we did. And the one we did like that, if you recall, was in Bolivar.
I love Bolivar. I love those people down there.
Yo, you bet. Yeah, and that was really terrific. I'd really like to see us get back to doing stuff like that. You bet. Kay, you had your question?
I've got a couple of questions, actually. One on a, I suppose, slightly more personal level. Is there anything that Greg Holland does or is interested in or has done that nobody besides maybe close friends of yours or whatever knows about that they might actually find interesting and kind of enlightening about you?
Oh, me, I don't know. I'm a pretty open book. I love people. I love sharing knowledge. That's why, I guess, why I love these organizations. I love, you know, like the little things I was involved in. I used to also be involved in a youth thing here called Adventure Fitness. It was a subsidiary of the Campfire Girls, and they specifically worked with like visually impaired children and had all kind of activities, and it was a young lady at that time, Linda Ray, who used to be the head of the visually impaired part of the school district over in Kansas in Johnson County. I've known her since I was a child. I mean, she's take us kids skiing, and I have a license in scuba diving. She set up so many things for us as kids that, and so she got involved with this Adventure Fitness, and they were going to teach some kids some basic self-defense and some martial arts. And she had this lovely lady that had her own studio over in Kansas. And she was very interested in getting involved with some visually impaired youth, but she was terrified at the same time. And she said, if you can find me, she said she'd be willing to do it. If you can find me someone that has some martial arts background, as well as dealing, working with visually impaired people, I'd be happy to do it. And so I hadn't talked to Linda in many years, and Linda gives me a call, and that's how I got involved with those things. But I love teaching. I love being involved with people, and I love learning. I guess is why I always seek out like those big minds that I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. And pick their brains for everything I can.
I know, I love intellectual conversations, and that's neat. That's neat to know. Mm-hmm. One other thing that I would like to know is, well, I don't know, Chip, do you have any questions that you want to ask? Because you may ask the same one I'm about to get
Well,
away.
I don't know if this is going to be your question, Kate, but my last question to you, Greg, as we wind down, do you have any words of encouragement that you would like to share with the people that, or words of wisdom that you would like to share that might be inspirational or inspiring? I know people always like to hear other folks's words of encouragement. We all like to be encouraged, and especially at this time. So if you have any words of encouragement that you would like to share with our members, we'd really love to hear it.
Well, I only thing I can say, like the folks in I know it can be frustrating being visually impaired and frustrating out here trying to compete in a sighted world. And all thing I can tell you is be the best that you are, and let no one set your bar where they believe it should be, and you put it where you know it is.
Very good. Yeah,
I
very
like
good.
that. I like
Yeah,
that.
you bet. Okay, you had anything else?
No, that was my question, and I agree with you, Greg. Too many people are so willing to lower the bar and say that's okay, you can do this, when you know that you can set your goals and your sights higher than that. And I appreciate what you had to say, for sure.
And one other thing that you and I talked a little bit about, Greg, is we really need to come together as a group, MCB, and we need to set aside some things that maybe are differences in the past, and really start working closer together. And I'm really looking forward to working with you, working closely with you. You've shared some things with me that, and I've kind of shared with Kay, that we would really like to see implemented. So I know that Kay will probably be talking to you as well. And well, we'll probably talk to you a little bit here when we end the recording here for today. But I know she's probably has some questions, but the different kind of things that you and I have talked about. But really, the one thing is just really coming together. And we've seen a little bit of that, Greg, already, like at our convention this month. And even before that, people are really wanting now to start getting out and getting back to getting involved in MCB and really coming together and working together. So any thoughts about that that you'd like to share?
Oh, I think that we have to work at understanding that we are a diverse group, and there's definitely nothing wrong with diversity. In fact, I embrace diversity, but not at the expense of dividing the organization.
I agree. Yes, I agree.
Yep.
Yeah, the three biggest areas that we're hearing a lot about these days is diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those are the three big things that we're hearing a lot about. So you're spot on about that. And so, Greg, we do appreciate you being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview, we would love to hear from you. You can have them call me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or you can call me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know, ladies and gentlemen. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Meanwhile, stay well, stay safe, and always remember to be kind to one another. We'll catch you here next time. Bye-bye for now.